We stop in Nashville. Our good buddy Josh Cooper joins us again. Josh, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We are well. The Preds, for the first time for you, you got to have a new coach. He's what does he have a pet again? A pet turtle? Is that right?
Yes, a pet turtle named Frank.
Okay. Oh, so he's got a name now. All right, Frank the Turtle. Now, some people could say at times the Predators' offense was turtle-like. How much of that do you think was just the players they had or how Barry Trotz coached? Do the Preds even know?
I mean, if you ask me, I think it was pretty much because of the personnel they had.
Okay.
They obviously thought it was because of how Barry Trotz coached. So, you know, I mean, I don't think we're going to meet in the middle with that. But, you know, they didn't really have a lot of offensive players. I mean, you just sort of look up and down the lineup, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot there. And, you know, I think it showed with their production.
Josh, I want to go bigger picture with you because I remember going to Nashville for their first season. Watched the Predators a lot. Really liked Barry Trotz, got along with him well. I'm wondering though, in bigger picture, if this is something that David Poile has to look at beyond Barry Trotz, beyond the new man Pete Laviolette, and look at the procurement, the scouting, and the development. Because you take a quick look through the register for the Nashville Predators in their team history. Yes, Legwand and Erat draft picks are up there for them over their career. But the truly talented guys, season's points leaders, Paul Kariya, Jason Arnott, JP Dumont, Steve Sullivan, Scott Walker, you got to go a long way to get down to David Legwand with a 63-point season. Are all free agents or trade acquisitions? Is there anything to that about the players this franchise has actually acquired?
Oh, totally. I think there absolutely is something to that. I mean, I look at this team, I look at the players that the franchise has had, and yeah, I mean, I don't think that they've scouted or drafted particularly well from the forward perspective. Defensively and in goal, yeah, they've done great, but when you're talking about their forwards, I mean, no, they've been very, very poor. So, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of reasons, you know, to go through that. I mean, just the types of players they're drafting, how they're developing them. And I mean, maybe that's sort of the one area where Barry Trotz could be somewhat culpable is the fact that he's never really meshed very well with a lot of the talented forwards that he's been given by the team. Talented forwards, by that I mean first round draft picks and such. Alexander Radulov comes to mind, even though I think he had a whole host of other problems. But, you know, I think there's definitely a lot of symptoms of issues with this team in that regard. And, you know, I think that the coach was the fall guy, but management was far more culpable in sort of the downfall of this team.
Josh, looking at you know, their forwards moving ahead, they don't have any big name guys. The biggest one would be Colin Wilson, as far as maybe expectations on what he can become. You've seen him way more than I. Does this guy have potential to be, you know, a 50, 55 point scorer? Is he more of a low end second liner?
I mean, you know, he's 24 years old. He's nearing his ceiling. Probably at this point. Career high is 35 points for a guy who was picked seventh overall. You know, there's a lot of reasons you can look at that, but I think there was a point this year where Barry Trotz just basically, or last year when Barry Trotz just basically said, "All right, you know, they want you at center. We're going to put you at center. We're going to see how you do." And he wasn't anywhere nearly a productive player at center from a points perspective. I mean, did he play well? Yeah. Did he make many major mistakes? No, he didn't do that. But you don't pick a guy in a draft with that much talent, seventh overall, to sort of be kind of a, I don't know, grind it out type center. I mean, another thing you have to kind of look at with that draft as well is not only was Colin Wilson taken with the seventh overall pick, they took Chet Pickard in the first round too, a goaltender who has not worked out for them at all. So, you know, lots of issues there right now for drafting and scouting, especially a year when you have two first-round picks, you figure you hit on at least one of them.
Now, Josh, what's your best take or read on what Poile and Laviolette want to do going into this draft? Because, you know, they have some defensemen. I don't know if Seth Jones makes a Ryan Ellis or a Roman Josi expendable. But if you're not going to heap expectations on a kid right out of the draft, you're going to have to go out and sign somebody to ignite that forward group. What do they do? Do they move one of those pieces?
I think they have no choice. They have so many defensemen at this stage. And, I mean, their defense core is really good. I mean, I know I've been kind of standing here ripping management here for a little bit, but, I mean, they have been able to get a really good group of defensemen and good young defensemen as well. I think you have to deal your strength in order to kind of plug the hole in your weakness. Your strength would be your defense. Your weakness would be forward. So I think, yeah, you kind of have to do that. I mean, how many teams are willing to take some of these guys? I mean, Ryan Ellis, 27 points last year. Granted, you know, he's only 23 years old. He's going to be 24 next year, I believe. But, you know, still a very small guy who, if he's not scoring, he's not really producing. So, you know, I think that there's still a lot of questions on the value of a lot of these guys other than Seth Jones or, as UP guys in Edmonton know extremely well, Shea Weber and what his value can be.
Josh Cooper joins us. So Roman Josi, if he's not producing offensive points, Josh, he's not a great defensive defenseman?
He's good. I mean, he's. I think the big issue with him is that he's just not Ryan Suter, and they've asked him to be Ryan Suter. Ryan Suter is nasty. He had a great stick, very good in his defensive end. Josi's pretty decent in his defensive end, but the thing is you're comparing him to a guy who's a Norris Trophy finalist. You know, I think should have won last year. And I think that's sort of the issue is that he doesn't replace that type of, I guess, defenseman or that just type of production that Ryan Suter was able to give them from the blue line.
So we go into this offseason. Are you getting any read at all on what Poile wants to do? I mean, I don't see a free agent out there you want to grab, but you tell me. Alex Hemsky?
You know, I think they want to get better at forward, but they may just have to do it via trade. How that's going to happen, I don't know, because I agree. I don't see a lot of guys out there, but, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I look at who they have in their system. They like Philip Forsberg, but he didn't even produce a point-per-game level at the American League last year. So how do you expect him to suddenly make that jump next year? Players have in the past, but... You know, I mean, you can't really expect that right now. So I don't really know what the expectation is. It's probably pretty low, to be quite honest, in terms of what they can do. I mean, I know they'd like to get better forward, but I don't know how they can.
Where do you see Cali Jornkroc fitting in?
The Iron Hook? That's his nickname,
Is that hook. What they call him, the Iron Hook? Why is that?
It's Jornkroc apparently translated as Iron Hook.
Oh, okay.
But I think they like him as a center. He's just not very big. I mean, they liken him a lot to Henrik Zetterberg, but he's kind of a small guy. So, you know, when you're sort of looking at what's going on, kind of around the league, I mean, with big, strong centermen, I mean, you know, one of the reasons why the Kings are so heavily favored over the Rangers is because they're so big and strong at center and bigger than the Rangers are at center. Cali Yarncroke's not that big, strong centerman. So I think they like his game, but he's just not a big guy. So, I think he could probably produce at the 50-point level in the NHL, but, you know, you can't teach size, and he just doesn't have it.
Josh, how about a guy you'd probably know fairly well, Alex Hemsky, went to Ottawa, and because there were questions here after some shoulder surgeries. He's very productive when he's healthy. He stayed healthy and was very productive. He said he wants a little bit more money than what the Senators are willing to offer. He'll probably test the market. Would that be somebody as a right winger who interests Nashville?
I think so, just because he's got more production. I think they'll make a run at Tomas Vanek. I think they'll probably make a run at Paul Stastny. I think they'll have to move some salary around to get these guys, but ultimately, yeah, I think they'll try to make a run at some of these guys. But I think they've had some shots at Hemsky in the past and have sort of passed on him.
Huh.
I think the big wild card and the big X factor here is how Peter Laviolette sees a lot of these guys, because part of the issue was in Barry Trotz's system, you were trying to tailor your team to fit in that. Now it's a different type of system that does different things. So how are you going to go about that? It's going to be a little bit different.
And the obvious one when people start looking at trades, the Philadelphia Flyers and Nashville have made moves in the past. Laviolette knows Philadelphia's forwards quite well. They got a lot of them. They want to improve their back end. And I'm not mentioning Shea Weber. I know the offer sheet. But, you know, with Seth Jones coming and they've got him, you mentioned Roman Josi played 26 minutes a night. You wonder if they would offer him for one of not a guy like Hartnell because he's too old, but maybe a Shen or somebody like that out of Philadelphia who Laviolette would know quite well.
I mean, that would make sense. I don't know if it would be Josi. I think it would maybe be more of a combination of a Delzato, Ryan Ellis, Ekholm.
Okay.
I don't think they want to break up the Josi-Weber pairing, but I could see them making a move with Philly just because Philly has so many forwards. The Edmonton Oilers, the team that you guys see on a night-in, night-out basis, also have a ton of forwards that they could offer up. So, I think you have to deal your defense. I just don't see them dealing Roman Josi, only because if he can stay healthy, he's had some concussion issues in the past. I mean, he's a 40-point defenseman who's locked up for the next 6 years. That's $4 million a year.
Yep.
At the end of that contract, that could be a tremendous steal for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh, I'm wondering how much do you feel, given where Laviolette's been and how he's coached, how much of a transition is there going to be from the systems that Barry insisted on to the way Laviolette plays hockey? Do you see anybody in the lineup who might blossom under a Laviolette?
I think Craig Smith will be a 30-goal guy under Laviolette.
30.
Laviolette likes skating. He likes speed. He likes guys who can, with creativity. And Craig Smith had 24 last year and really came on strong at the end of the season. And, Laviolette's even praised him and how he plays. So, I think Craig Smith is a guy who can turn into a 30-goal type guy under Laviolette. I like his skill level, and I think that he's the type of player who can mesh well with a coach like that.
Josh, always good to catch up with you quickly. The Preds, do you think they're leaning towards – they got to get some offensive depth in the system, I'm guessing, for their first-round pick?
Yeah, they have pretty much all but said they're going to take a forward. So I would see them do that. And you know what? They may even trade up because they may not like the talent that could be there at 11, and I could see them doing that as well.
Appreciate your time, Josh.
No worries. Anytime, guys.